This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station. And good morning, my friend. About 6 minutes after 9 o'clock, here we are on Wednesday, February 23rd, the last Wednesday of 2011 in the month of February. Where did this month go? Welcome to the Wednesday Morning Talk Show. I'm Terry Tote, everybody's favorite uncle, Uncle Ralph Niehaus.
Morning.
Good morning, sir. Outstanding in your field this morning?
Probably. Yeah, but it got a little damp out there, so I moved back inside.
Yeah, a little damp.
Yeah, a little.
And I guess it's going to be a lot more damp tomorrow and maybe the next day. So.
But at least in watching St. Louis this morning, they had some nasty ice. They actually closed some of the interstates, but we didn't have that. On the verge here.
We had plenty of hot air.
We had plenty of hot air to keep it away.
We furnished that. Free of charge here at the radio station. Hot air, you know.
I've always noticed that out in front here, Route 16, never had ice on it.
I'm telling you, the one spot it's clear, it's right out front here. So, Nikki Bishop has joined us in studio this morning. We're going to talk about Children of Aging Parents, which is an organization which I guess there's been, I think, different variations of this sort of organization over the years, but I think this is probably one that's more of a nationwide type thing, at least getting a lot of attention nationwide. So.
Good morning. Yes, it is. It is a program that there's a lot of different support groups, but this was one that I had seen not too long ago that was started nationally in Pennsylvania in 1977, and two women who were struggling, kind of like several people around here, taking care of their elderly parents or family members, and they just didn't seem like they could find the resources or the help that they needed just to be able to go talk.
All
and
right.
So this program was started, and we're one of the few in Illinois. There's a couple other heritage homes that are doing this, but I just thought it was kind of unique to this area. And I think as I was working my current job, there's a lot of people who need those services. They don't know how to ask for it. They come in as they're doing their admissions for whether it's skilled nursing facility or supported living, and they just still have the struggles of how do I take care of mom or dad, whether they're at home, whether they're at a nursing home. There's still issues. And so I felt that this might be something for our area that would be beneficial. And we started and had an open house back in September and had about 10 people show up. And from there, it's kind of blossomed. And sometimes we can get as few as two or three that show up. And then last night, I had three new people show up with some of our other additional people. So I think it's something that as time goes on, they heard it on the radio, see it in the newspaper, they'll understand a little bit more about it.
And one of the most difficult things I would imagine, Nikki, and when we talk about getting older and the realization comes when you can no longer stay in your home, that's a real tough time in a person's life when someone says, hey, you can't live here by yourself or stay here anymore. You're going to have to go to some kind of assisted living facility. And that's a big jolt for someone who's lived in a home 50 years or 60 years or whatever.
It really is, and I think that's something where people struggle with as the person that has to leave or the person that's taking care of them. And a lot of them, I do see people are staying home as long as they can. They don't want to give up that independence, and they end up losing opportunities maybe to go to a supportive living by their own choice. And so that's one thing that we try to help families with. If they're taking care of their mom at home, that's great if they can do it. But the caregiver has a lot of stress, and I think with this program, they're stressed by the individual living there, the mom and dad. They don't maybe want to really have to do this. They know that their health is failing. They really don't want to depend on anybody. But if the daughter or son chooses to have them in their home, they've got to set boundaries and try to work on the issues that they can, because it's not going to be perfect. There's a struggle between a parent and child. Now the roles have switched a little bit. Now you're the parent, they're the child, and you're trying to, we talked about what they call therapeutic lies. There's things that your parents had to kind of fib to you a little bit and say, come on, we're going to go here, and they know you're going to the doctor's appointment, you didn't really want to go, but then we'll go get ice cream afterwards. As you're taking care of your parents, it's an odd thing to say, I'm lying to my mom when I'm trying to get, if she has an Alzheimer's, trying to get her to the doctor and she doesn't want to go. So this program is designed to be able to come there, talk to people that have similar interests, and you don't feel like if you're just talking to maybe a friend who hasn't gone through that, they don't understand. And so if you're showing your frustration about your mom or your dad, they don't understand. They think, well, maybe their mom passed away. This was an issue we talked about last night. Well, I wish my mom was just here. Well, then you feel awkward trying to talk to somebody because, yes, you're happy your parents are alive, but yet you're still struggling to take care of them, and you don't, there's no one there to validate your feelings. And everyone has feelings, whether you can, we say, try to be numb when you're taking care of them for the 30 minutes. It's hard.
And what you touched on the point here I want to bring up, there's a logical decision that can be made by looking at the overall picture, but it's trying to sell it emotionally.
Yes.
That's the tough thing.
It's very, very hard. And it's one of those things that's a day by day, hour by hour sometimes. And you can have a battle with your parent in 5 minutes and then walk away and they'll forget they had it if they're struggling with some of those cognitive things. And so you just have to pick your battles. If they're not dressed appropriately, at least they're dressed if they've got the different color shoes on when you're taking them out. Who's more embarrassed, you or them? Well, you know they're prideful of those things. And so there's a lot of different issues that we've talked about. And I feel that as time goes on, this will be something that the doctors will be able to say, oh, I know about this support group and we were getting our brochures out and getting information out here on the radio and the newspapers. So I feel it's important to let people know they're not alone. And as these baby boomers come up, they're taking care of the kids are taking care of them. We need to know that you're able. It's a free program. We meet the fourth Tuesday of every month at Evergreen Place at 7 o'clock. And so it doesn't cost you anything, maybe a little gas to come, but it's sure worth the time to be able to talk to people and know that you're not alone.
And perhaps this past January, looking at it from a different standpoint, this past January, if you had an elderly parent who was still making their own home, you had to think about all the ice and snow and what if they got out of the house for some reason and fell and couldn't get up. And so this adds a lot of stress to an already volatile situation.
It does. And I think that's one thing that you have to think about, the safety of them. And know you want them to be in their home as long as they can or be with you. But there may be a time where in these support groups and pastoral services, things like that, or help you to make those decisions. And I think that's where in the position that I'm in, we've got independent, supportive, and skilled nursing facility. It may not be right for everybody, but we want to make sure that through this program that we're able to give people resources, whether it's through the health department or your church or through the services that we have, to let people know that there's options for them depending on their payer source. Some people think, well, I don't have money to go here. Well, some Evergreen Place takes all income levels. So there's a lot of things that people don't really know about, and we hope that we can get the word out to the community to let them know that stay home as long as you can, use the local Meals on Wheels, use some resources, but sometimes there comes a point where they may need to look for further services. And if it's a stressor on you being home with you, then you need to think about your quality of life too. We see a lot of caregivers that their stress level has really depleted their health, and they're worse off than the parent is.
And not only is their health worse, but their relationship maybe with the rest of their family, or husband, kids, and that sort of thing, totally gets destroyed.
Definitely, and especially if you have siblings. Sometimes there's one that does more than the other, and that was another thing we talk about, is a little bit of resentment. You finally have some people to understand that you've taken on this role, maybe by choice, maybe not by choice if you're maybe only a single child, but it's one of those things where it's reality. It's not going to go away. You're going to bring up emotions of things when maybe you were little, mom didn't really take care of you, and now you're taking care of her. Well, how am I going to get through this? So it's really a hard thing to deal with, and you don't always know where to turn, but I think this is a good program to at least get you started in the right direction.
Nikki Bishop is with us this morning. We're talking about children of aging parents, our program brought to you by the Plummer Funeral Home in Litchfield. Let's take a break. Back to chat in 30 seconds.
At Plummer Funeral Home, we've been helping local families make final arrangements in advance for many years. We can help you plan ahead so that when our services are needed, everything will be in order and your family can begin the healing process without the burdens of having to make arrangements at the time of need. At Plummer Funeral Home, we make funeral planning easy for you. Plummer Funeral Home, the locally owned hometown funeral home, your neighbor and your friend.
Back on the Wednesday morning talk show, we're talking with Nikki Bishop of Children of Aging Parents. And Nikki, of course, working at Evergreen Place, gives you an interesting aspect of this. You get to see all different sides of this, and it's not an easy decision to make. What's the first thing a child who's trying to take care of the parent and knows that they need some help, what's the first place they need to call? What's the first thing they need to do? What do they need to ask?
Well, they need to ask what their priorities are and what services they feel like they would need. If it's somebody to come in and sit with them for a few hours while they run some errands, that's a lot of issues as well. If people feel like, well, you can't leave me. I can't take care of myself. And even if they stay home by themselves all day when maybe you go work. As soon as you walk in the door, they're helpless. And so, again, it's a tension thing, just as children, as we know, we revert back to children a little bit as we get older. And I think they need to prioritize what they really need to help them not be so stressed. And so your health department has respite care is one thing that's available, and you can talk to them as well and try to get some services. We have some resources as well that we can give you for the health department. But really prioritize what you need. If it's somebody coming in through home health, if they've come out of the hospital, they need some extra services, nursing care for a couple weeks, they can do that as well. But that's important to know what would take the stress level off of you, what would help your parent or whoever you're taking care of, because they need a quality of life as well. They still have lived a good life. They want to be able to have the best quality of life they can, but you need to make sure that you're taking care of them, they're safe, and your stress level and your health is important too.
And we can't always assume, Nikki, that when we talk about taking care of parents and elderly parents and stuff, we can't always assume that that will only occur when that person is 80, 85, or 90 years old. Through some accident or health or something, you may have to become a caregiver to your mother or father at a much earlier age.
We're seeing a lot of that, and that's one thing that they weren't prepared for. They thought, well, when mom gets late 70s, 80s, I'll take care of her, I'll have her live with me, and maybe that's a generation they saw before. My grandma lived with us, I'm going to take care of my mom. But as our lives have changed, as you know, in this day and age, a lot of people are working longer than they used to, they can't stay home, and so that's something that people aren't always prepared for, and so you need to check your local resources and make sure that you get everything that you can, because your doctor's office has information as well. And as I would give advice to people, make sure you're communicating with the doctor on the care level that you need for your mom or your dad or whoever you're taking care of, because they don't know any of the issues until you tell them. Sometimes you find that there's people that will put on a good front when they go to the doctor, but you don't, and keep a log, keep a journal of things that go on, so you have evidence that shows, well, mom seems to be a little more agitated this time. What can I do to help with that? Making sure that they're safe at home is important, and you need to make sure that you're communicating with the health department as well if they need to come in and maybe do an assessment. Sometimes they say, well, I can't get her to go anywhere. Well, you can get people to come into your home as well, and that's important to know that.
And medication is certainly very important, because as we get older, we tend to forget, did I take this pill this morning or did I take that pill? And you don't, I'll make a comment, you don't have to be old to do that. But this can become very traumatic with people with their medication.
It can be, and especially if you read all the side effects of things. If they get fixated on that, well, I'm not taking that pill, it could kill me. Well, you're 90 years old and you need to take this. So one thing that we talked about last night is if you have maybe even a husband and wife, he's the caregiver, you're taking care of your dad, he's taking care of your mom. You're trying to figure out the scenarios of the medications, make sure mom doesn't take dad's. And so that's one thing, too. If you find out that there's all different types of things out there. The weekly, there's the local pharmacies that may cost a little bit extra, but they have the blister packs. You can get those so you make sure you know the pill's not taken before the time. And again, through Evergreen Place is another example. They have medication reminders there, and you make sure that people are taking their medications at the right time. They can even lock up the medicine and come in when it's time to take the medication. So there's a lot of different options for people with those medications, but it's important that they take them if they want to, and it's agreed by the doctor. It's important that they take them in a timely manner and make sure they're taking the right medication as well. Otherwise, you're going to have severe side effects and you're going to be all back to square one.
Yeah. And with our pharmacists around here, they are the folks that you can talk to and talk about drug interaction.
Yes, definitely. And they're very open to listening to you. And there's some medications that you are prescribed to take maybe for Alzheimer's, dementia type of thing, but then there's side effects to that. So you have to really keen in and take your notes again. Well, I've seen since we've taken this medication that there's a little bit of acting out here or there, or maybe she's not sleeping, whatever the issues may be. Sometimes you just need to switch medications. So don't think that you're stuck with that medication as well. Respect your doctor, but also inform him, because they never know. There are several side effects to things. Most of the time, they do pretty good, but you just need to communicate with the doctor and the pharmacist and make sure you know all your options.
And we are fortunate that we live in a community, Hillsborough, Litchfield, wherever, we're small town inhabitants, and everybody basically has that personal relationship with their druggist, where you wouldn't have in the larger cities, and they pretty well know what your medication you're taking and can help you. You can get a lot of help. These little pill boxes they have now that's for 7 days.
Yes.
And you can put them in there Monday through Sunday, and that's a lot of help to some people.
It is. They even have the morning, noon, and night ones.
Right.
And I do feel like as I go around and talk to the different pharmacists, they're more than willing to help you. And even the doctors, they're more than willing to make sure that as a caregiver, you're taken care of and that your family member's taken care of. So just that would be my number one thing, is make sure you're communicating with people your needs, because no one can know what you're going through. Don't feel like all the weight should be on your shoulders. Just because your mom maybe took care of their family members and that's the way it was years ago, she maybe didn't have a job. She had other jobs. She was taking care of kids, but the job that you had to go out away from the home. And so know that you're not alone. Know that you're not the only one going through this. And I think that's the crux of the program, is to be able to come and talk a little bit and say, are you going through this? And get some resources from us, be able to talk back and forth. We've had several people that come each month and share ideas with each other and come back and say, oh, that really worked with mom. Just a different way of saying things. You might have thinking that this is the way I always say it, and I don't know why mom's not listening to me. Another person could come in the room and say, well, what about this? And it's the best idea ever. And that's so frustrating. And you have to know that you can't take it personal, but it's very, very hard. So just really communicate with people, look for your resources out there, and don't give up, because it's something that's not going to go away. There's always going to be caregivers out there, but we have to survive ourselves, take care of our families, and our health is important too.
Another thing to keep an eye on, in spite of the fact there may be various medications involved, a lot of times we know our own bodies best, and mm-hmm. we know when something's not right. So a lot of times it's good to ask questions, saying, hey, this is the medication I'm on. Something here is not right. What could be making me feel like this, or you know, lack of energy, lack of focus, that sort of thing. So you're your best friend when it comes to knowing what works and doesn't work for you.
Oh, definitely. And I think there's times too, if you see a change in the person that you're taking care of, there may have been a mini stroke, there may have been some heart issues. So really keen into that. And even if you're just jotting down, you don't have to write a whole paragraph, but just mom didn't seem so right today. And if you kind of see a pattern, then you want to make sure you let the doctor know, because it may be a medication, it may be a health issue that you just didn't see coming, that you need to let them know what's going on.
And you, as you mentioned earlier, you see incidents, and I know an incident where an elderly gentleman's daughter says, I just can't get Dad to do anything, but my husband can tell him, and he'll say, well, if you think I need to do that,
yeah.
And he'll go and do it. And she said, it just drives me crazy. I said, hey, be thankful that he listens to your husband.
Well, and that's the thing, is as much as it may hurt your feelings, and again, this is why they have support groups, to come validate your feelings, but try to key into those type of things and say, okay, well, he can get Dad to do that. And we also talked about hobbies. Once as they get older, they can't do what they used to. Well, find the simple things that maybe they could do, even if it's something you think they wouldn't like to do. Maybe have someone else who they're more receptive to introduce it to them, and they may love it. And then you just have to know that they may know that they're hurting your feelings, but they don't intentionally mean to do it. It's such a fine line, especially if you had somebody who was kind of harsh bringing you up, and you know they're kind of a little bit towards that. You just have to say, I know they don't mean that, and I'm going to move on. Because otherwise, if you dwell on it, it's hurting you as well.
And when you become a caregiver, a lot of times the overwhelming pressure could lead to a depressive state. And this is where you're meeting with a group like your organization, Nikki, is good to get together, talk things out, and they could refer you perhaps to some additional help.
Yes, and sometimes we do find that people need more help than just the few months that we've been meeting. There are a few that there's other help, other resources that they could do as well as caregivers. So we just want to make sure they know that they're not alone, because you don't want to be depressed. You don't want it to affect your job. If you're taking care of your kids as well, grandkids, whatever you're doing, you want to make sure you're able to maintain that health level. And it's important to keep a journal, maybe for yourself as well, if you feel like, gosh, I just want to write down that I didn't have a very good day, or mom actually listened to me today. I'm going to write that down, and it's a star for me. So just whatever you can do to help relieve that stress, whatever it is, if it's devotionals, a prayer, whatever it may be, just talking to a friend, just please don't keep that bottled in, because all you're going to do is help hurt you, and you're not helping anybody.
And maybe help can be as simple, Nikki, as a phone call from a friend. Just to talk to this person over the phone for 5 or 10 minutes.
Just to be able to vent.
Yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm. And that's why I told them, too, we meet monthly, but I said, I have an email. If you just need to shoot out an email to somebody, you know, I'm the only one reading it, and you just vent, go ahead. That's fine by me. They said, where's your email address? So I think it's important to know you're just not alone out there.
I kid people every once in a while, go outside and take a big scream. Ah, you know, and just cut loose and just kind of let some of that frustration out. And that tends to reset the computer in your mind and allows you to function a little more. Logically,
sure.
A little more
clear mind.
Clear mind, absolutely, absolutely.
What we don't realize as active and busy people in our daily lives is how it is for someone who is sitting at home alone in that chair all day. We don't realize, because we're out, we're communicating, we're going here and we're going there, and they're sitting in that chair at home all day, possibly by themselves or with a mate, a husband or a wife, and we don't realize how difficult that can be.
We don't. And I think we've been talking a lot about the caregivers. And our parents, whoever you're taking care of, have worked hard, lived a good life. They never imagined themselves to be maybe in the situation that they're in. And so you have to be sensitive to that as well. And I think even with the line of work that I'm in, you see a lot of people thinking, well, I would never be in a nursing home. And with the Evergreen Place coming in, that's a piece that's been missing for many years. And I think that's something where if you can get your family member to accept that, they're in their own apartment, they have their own independence, they get their meals, they get medication reminders, housekeeping, laundry, all that total package, to where it's a willing participant in that, because they have to be to come in, then as their health maybe fails, it's an easier acceptance of the type of skilled nursing facility. They've changed through the years. There's a lot of benefits to be able to go to nursing home, even to rehab and to go home. But I think it's one of those things where it maybe was always drilled in their head, I'm never going to go there. I don't need that service. I can always take care of myself. And you just never know what your health's going to be. So we have to be sensitive to them, especially if they're aware of everything that's going on. It's even a harder fight than, as sad as it may be, if they have Alzheimer's and they don't really know what's going on in the cognitive sense of things. They might fight you a little bit, but they don't really know what they're doing. So it's important to be sensitive to your people you're taking care of as well.
And these facilities like Evergreen Place really in recent years have taken a huge step forward in allowing families to deal with this sort of thing, because it's, you know, you get them from point A and then you move them to point B if need be. And like you mentioned, just a little bit easier transition sometimes.
I definitely think it is. And that's part of my goal, too, is through this program, is to let people know the different options out there, because they may start out at independent living like our Montgomery Place, and then they can move on through to Evergreen Place and then go on to Heritage Manor. So I think it's getting them to accept it a little bit more, trusting the people that work there, know that their health is their first priority, making sure they have the best quality of life. And that's the goal, and that's what I see is working in this county and visiting people, is to make sure they have the best quality of life. If you're doing great at home, that's wonderful, but if you're falling and your health is failing, then you maybe need to think of some other options.
And all of this is brought about basically by longer lifespan.
It is. We're living a lot longer than we used to. 70s used to be very old to me as I was younger, and now I'm going, hey, you're 100 and you're at home and they're doing great. No, so you just
70's the new 50.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
I got a lot to look forward to then, don't I?
Absolutely.
Even myself, I used to think 70 was old.
And then they go put a pig valve in Ralph and he's still good for another 100,000.
Yeah. All I got to do is put a pig valve in, and all I got to do is find a mud hole to lay down in.
By the time I get older, they're going to have everything ready for me.
Strides are very huge in recent years, and in the near term and the near future, I believe, when it comes to extending life and rehabilitating organs of the body and getting some biomechanical help with it. So it's kind of a neat field to be in. So, Nikki, we're out of time.
That's okay.
Thank you very much for joining us. Talking about children of aging parents. If you need any more information, contact Nikki Bishop. You can call me here and we can get you in contact with
me. That sounds great. Fourth Tuesday of every month.
Fourth Tuesday of every month. All right.
Come back and see us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Uncle Ralph. Thank you, Nikki Bishop. Today's program brought to you by the Plummer Funeral Home in Litchfield. The man, the myth, and the legend, Earl Sorrells, on his way with that opening market report next on AM 1540.